when a person answers a question, they will tell you the story they've been telling themselves the whole time. So, you know, what's so in our world, you know, what's a challenge that you're having in your business and why do you think you're having that challenge? Well, they're going to say the same thing they've been saying to themselves versus with an assessment, it's a truth teller.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Today, I've got joining me in studio, Jane Duber. Now, I met Jane at the New Media Summit. And if you've met Jane, you know that she is high energy, high impact. She's a speaker, an author, and an intuitive business strategist. It didn't take very long after meeting her, and we found ourselves out for dinner with her and her husband, doing what she probably does best, and that is networking, expanding her network, and connecting with people. Jane is a 7-time successful entrepreneur, so you'll want to tune in, because anybody who can hit it out of the park 7 times has probably got some stuff that we could all learn from. She's passionate about helping business owners build high leverage, massively profitable businesses that impact meaningful change and provide the freedom and lifestyle that you and I desire. While armed with a master's degree in international business, it's really Jane's 30 years in her entrepreneurial trenches that give her a unique and grounded perspective on her business success. Her journey is filled with stories of risk-taking, triumph, failure, and reinvention, enabling her to start and grow 7 businesses successfully. They've sold 3, and now she operates from her home in Pebble Beach, California. So welcome to the Real Marketing Real Fast podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Doug. I'm thrilled to be here and so glad we had a chance to meet live and in person before we do this.
There we go. So we're doing it in reverse. We start with a face-to-face meeting, and then we take it online and get digital instead of the other way around.
I love it. That's the way I would always love it.
But one of the things that we talked about, and that is in digital, and that is identifying the right customers, the right message, and finding a best way to convert them. So do you want to just share a little bit about your business background and kind of how you got to where you are?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, you know, you hear this phrase passed around, the serial entrepreneur, but I think I really took it seriously. I came out of an entrepreneurial family, came out of my graduate degree in business and just knew I was unemployable. I knew that I always wanted to have my own business. And so, you know, much of, now it's been 30, going on 31 years. I actually went into business with my husband before we got married, believe it or not.
Wow, good for you.
I know. And if you think about it, you know, having had the 7 businesses, Mario and I did that together. So probably even more than the business success we've had, I'm thrilled we're still married and happy and, you know, just love our lives. So it's for me, the common thread amongst all the businesses, they've all been in the personal development realm. And they're always, you know, every single business we were always looking for, you know, how do we take away what I call the entrepreneurial angst, you know, so that's, it's frustration. The entrepreneurial life, as you know, it's not for the faint of heart. And so every single business we had was providing some sort of solution, you know, a way of looking at business, a way of conducting business that we felt was more innovative and allow people to succeed more quickly. Our the game we play, Doug, is how quickly can we get to the million mark?
That's a great game.
It is, you know, and it's true. You know, you make different decisions along the way when you're on the way to a $1 million business than when you're on your way to, you know, trying to get to that 100,000 mark or the multi-100,000. So I learned early on from my dad, you know, if you're going to play, you might as well play full out. And so that's the common thread of all the businesses is, you know, how do we do that ourselves? And then how do we turn around and help other entrepreneurs do the same?
So with that in mind, just going to take up that comment in terms of building, a six-figure business versus seven-figure. I remember when I was starting a business, people said, it's not a big jump. It's just adding an extra zero. And to some, that might sound smug or arrogant, but, I tend to agree with you. So do you want to just share a little bit, what is the major difference between going from six figures to seven figures? We meet lots of people that are consultants and business coaches and people that are selling products, and they're teaching people how to get to six figures, and that's fine. That's fine at least fine for me, if that was a pathway to get to seven.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the biggest difference can be summed up in one word. Like, it's that simple, and it's leverage, because typically at the $100,000 level, and there's no judgment. I have a lot of clients that we work with personally who really don't want a $1 million business, right? But the mindset still can be present, and a lot of times for people who say they don't want the seven-figure business, it's because somewhere in their psyche, Doug, they're believing that their quality of life will suffer, that they'll work their, self to death, and the relationships will go to hell in a handbasket. So I would say, first of all, just check your mindset around, the six figure business versus the seven figure. Then I would say, the other thing, the thing that is the tipping scale to be able to get to that level and still have quality of life and still keep your relationships intact and your health, is really making sure that when you're building your business, you're really structuring it to have leverage. I mean, going to more about what I believe leverage is, because for me, it's my favorite thing. I think I was interviewed on another, it was Rod's podcast, and he said, I think you should make leverage your middle name because I'm such a proponent of it. I really, really, truly believe in it.
Well, it's funny because I heard Matthew Kimberly speak at an event, and he talked about, building a seven-figure, eight-figure business. And you can see some people that, it sounds almost offensive. But I think what I took away from his presentation was, for people that are listening today saying, oh, I don't need to do that, is it gives you more choices. I mean, stuff happens in our life, and stuff happens in the life of our families and friends. And sometimes you just need to be there. And sometimes it's physically being there, or sometimes it's helping someone that's in a tough situation. And how tough would it be to not be able to help or not be able to be there because you haven't built your business to the point that you can pick up and go?
Absolutely. In fact, I mean, I'll share, because I'm kind of an open book here. I mean, I will share that I was able to take 3 weeks off of my business, and I went to be with my family, and a family member passed, and it was an opportunity for me to really be present. And I can go over, there's really three areas you want to really focus on leverage in your business. And because I had focused on the third area, which is building a team, a rock star team, I was able to I didn't look at my texts, I didn't answer emails, I just checked in with them a couple times a week. And so, yeah, that's the lifestyle we all want. You may not want the big house or the car, but freedom, it has to be born out of leverage, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in terms of operating seven businesses, so what businesses are you currently running?
So the three, we're operating sort of three out of our home here in Pebble Beach, and we do it with a virtual team. And the one, it's actually, they very much mirror these three strategies for leverage. So if people are taking notes on the podcast, that if you're looking, if you're kind of curious and say, okay, what is leverage? And in my world, it's creating a business that gives you the greatest return for the least amount of effort. Like, it's just how to be smart so that you have the revenues flowing in and it's as streamlined as it possibly can be. So the three areas, the first area that you want to leverage is in your delivery, the delivery of your expertise. Because if you're the only one delivering your expertise, you're screwed because you can't take the lid off the income because there's only so much of you to go around. So,
right.
So that first company that we have is build online academies, e-learning platforms for people to take their content that they've been delivering live, or maybe they have a book, maybe they've been coaching, and we help them create really, really well-designed courses that we can then deliver through our e-learning platform. So that's one of the businesses, is an e-learning platform.
And what's your next business?
Yeah. So the second one is sort of the next step. So once you've had an opportunity to really streamline and create, we go in the e-learning, we go for a course that does as good as we possibly can of duplicating the experience of working with you personally. So once you've got that in place, then you go and you streamline the sales process. And it was interesting because I was having a conversation on another interview and they were saying, well, wouldn't you want to do the sales process first and then leverage the delivery? But we've really found, you know, you can leverage the sales process, but in other words, kind of automating the sales process to some degree. And if you don't have a leveraged delivery, then what happens is you get the sales and you're taxed with your ability to deliver. And so we create this, you know, windfall of challenge where you've got the sales coming in, but not a way to really rock it even without killing yourself. So that's a sales process. That's a second company, Smart Biz Quiz. We help people streamline their sales using things like surveys and assessments, how to do that to really deliver a stellar sales experience or a courting process that really is aligned with what the people need. And that's, we can go a little deeper into this after I talk about the third one, because Doug, I think this is really what's aching right now in what I would call the personal development industry, is a sales process that's intuitive, that's personalized, that really is respectful of who's on the other end of that email or training. So the second business is Smart Biz Quiz, which is all around the assessments and surveys. And then the third is really, it's more of the consulting side of the business. So it's where we really work with people and create those longer term strategies, you know, build the infrastructure, and it's everything from, you know, an online course that we have to, you know, build the team and create the leverage. Or it's, you know, we even have a turnkey CEO program that we do where we come in and actually do it all for you. So yeah, those are the three businesses and I love them all. I can't choose. I know people say, how do you do three businesses? And, you know, for me, it's just, I'm passionate about it and that's what we do.
Well, you do it with a rock star team and leverage?
I do. Yeah. Obviously, you got to practice what you preach. That's the one, don't you think it's one of the great things about being in this industry is that, you know, if you're putting yourself as an expert, you're really called to live what it is that you teach, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, got me into trouble a few times. I've heard experts bragging about something and I'm going, you're not doing that. And so that's a whole nother story, but
that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love an opportunity to meet people and the podcast gives me an opportunity to meet smart people and find out what they're doing and share that with our audience. So yeah, you're right. I mean, this is, I think Steve Osler asked one of the questions at his event and the question was, you know, what's one thing that even if you're tired gives you more energy when you're done? And I went, well, I guess speaking, teaching, and podcasting. It doesn't matter, you know, what time of the morning it is. I get up for an early morning interview from someone maybe in Europe or wherever it is. It always gives me energy because I'm inspired by people's knowledge, their experience, and always learn. So I think for me, it's my own private online course, and I just happen to share it with everybody else.
I love it. Yeah, it's true. Those are your three zones of genius. That's cool that you figured that out. Not a lot of people have.
Well, I'm still figuring it out, but I've got a spouse who often reminds me to kind of pay attention to what I do and what people like in terms of what I do. So let's talk about understanding your customer. So, you know, I understand assessments a little bit in terms of personal assessments and personality style assessments and stuff that we would do when we are hiring staff. But how do you apply that to customers?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So this, I'll say, first of all, you know, I think we've got a safe space here for us to talk about sort of, you know, the darker side of the industry right now. I mean, in many ways, I am the first optimist or, you know, such an optimist around life. And one of my favorite client testimonials was working with James, like stepping into the word yes. So I'll put that out there that I am a positive person. But I also think that as an entrepreneur, you've got to be really honest about what's happening in whatever niche you're in the personal development industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got plummeting open rates. We've got opt-ins are harder to get than ever before. And it's my opinion, it's twofold, really. Number one, it's because the people on the other end of that marketing don't feel seen, heard, or understood. And these are just basic human needs. We all want to be seen, heard, and understood. And respected. You can throw that in there if you want. And I think for a long time in the industry, there was such a hype around the online marketing tools that people were creating that we forgot that there's a human being on the other end of that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. And so, you know, we got into what I call the guru-centered marketing. And the guru-centered marketing is every single message out there is, you know, click here and learn about me. Click here and get my groovy. It's all about me, the guru, right?
Yep.
And it didn't sit right with me. It just, my nature is I want to know about the other people. So when we started looking at how we wanted to market differently a number of years ago, what we really decided is, you know, how do we make this about the prospect? Like, duh, it's not.
That's a new idea. What does the customer want?
Yeah. And so it was just, you know, how do we make them feel seen? How do we deliver so much value in our exchange with them that then begins to build the trust and sets us apart from the others? So that was where in our e-learning division, in our orientation, one of the things that really helps our people be so successful online is in our orientation, we've been doing this now for 9 years with our e-learning platform, where the first thing that happens in any course is in the orientation, you take an online assessment. Then we have the student able to take that then again at the end. And so in the e-learning world, it's really cool because it benchmarks them to complete the course so they're always tracking their progress. But in the end, that client has a numerical representation of how much they've grown. You know, in the assessment, I'll tell a little bit, it's a scale of 1 to 10. And I'll talk a little bit more about what our assessments do. But that was born out of that experience of people loving the assessments that were in the course. And actually, one of our clients came to us, Michelle Sism, in fact, she came and said, you know, my clients are loving this assessment. I'd really love to put it in the marketing. And so that's where we made it a standalone tool where any expert, you know, we have everything from relationships coaches to dog trainers and dressage specialists and health and wellness and leadership training and sales training, you name it. We've helped people create that. And so what we did is we then took that assessment that measured the student once they purchased, we pulled it out and we made it part of the marketing.
So how does that work? So, you know, if I'm going to use that, so let's say, for example, I'm going to take that and roll it into a health and wellness client project I'm working on. Where does that fit in our current sales and marketing strategy?
Yeah, so it can go. So I'll share how it's designed, and then I'll kind of share with you where it can go in the sales process. Sure. But so what we do is we take an expert in any niche, so let's say it's health and wellness, and we have them identify what we call realms of impact. So in other words, you know, Doug, if you were a health and say a fitness coach, we would ask you, so when a client works with you for say 3 to 6 months, what are the areas of their life and health that are impacted? Where are you impacting change? And so oftentimes, it's not only in their weight, well, how are they impacting change? So it seems like hydration and exercise and all these quote unquote habits or best practices that you take a client from. So a client comes in, they're not drinking enough water. They're not eating the right foods. They're not exercising properly. So all of these things we take and then we build an assessment where a potential client can go in and then what we call categories, you're asking them to rate on a scale of 1 to 10. So, it's the statement might be, you know, I have a health and fitness routine that I lean into or do 3 times a week without fail. Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much does that describe you? 1, not so much. I don't even have the routine. I'm not regular. Or 10, I'm a rock star. So what this does is let's take another one. So relationship. We know communication is really important to relationship. So we would design a statement or two, you know, let's say it's communication. So it would be my significant other and I have a clear process for navigating disagreements, right? So, and then on a scale of 1 to 10, 1, not at all, we're arguing all the time. 10, we have a great way of navigating these disagreements. So by doing this, if you can imagine building out that assessment, so in the sales process, whether it's on the front end or whether it's maybe 2 steps back in the sales process, the invitation is, you know, I'd really love to learn about you. I'm so happy to have you in my community, or I'm so thrilled that you, you know, got our XYZ blueprint. I'd love to learn more about you so that when we're sharing information down the path, we're making sure that we're really giving you something that's going to serve you for where you are on your path. Another invitation sometimes we'll use is, you know, sometimes, you know, there are certain elements that are holding you back from having the XYZ that you want, you know, put in ultimate goal here. So in my world, in the area of business growth, would be, you know, finding out where your missing pieces are, what might be holding you up back in business is one of the most important things you can do as an entrepreneur. So I've designed an assessment for you to click here and find out where are the missing pieces that may be holding you back from the success that you want. So that's sort of the invitation. And so what we're doing then is we're giving that prospect the greatest gift they can have, which is the gift of awareness, right? In fact, Tony Robbins, if you look at his tenets of success, awareness is the first tenet of success, saying that you can't create change in anything in your life without first knowing exactly where you are today. And that's what the assessments do that we build.
That's really cool. I mean, I would, in the, you know, the direct analytical marketing sense, I would look at them as benchmarks, but I totally get what you're saying. And I, so for a personal development standpoint, I do a deep dive in this like once a year, where I take, you know, a couple of weeks off over the holidays and kind of look at, so how was my last year? What were my time sucks? You know, how was I procrastinating? What am I missing? What tools should I be leveraging more? And just kind of go through it all and look at it and look for the ones that are just glaring and go, okay, I'm going to take the lowest hanging fruit and fix that one first.
Love it. Yeah, that's great. And you know, sometimes, and the cool thing that happens with these assessments, if we do them by category, so typically we'll do like maybe 4 or 5 categories with just a couple statements in each one. Then how we move this into the sales process is once they take the assessment, we have a profile of who they are so we can deliver relevant value, but then we invite them into a conversation. And so we actually teach clients how to structure that exploration session, or some people call it a strategy session, but it's the one-on-one enrollment conversation, how you structure that to deliver the most value to the prospect so they come away more clear about those missing pieces. And then how do you structure it so that you can seamlessly then show the client how it is you support them in those missing pieces? Like it's so much fun when we really get down to that. We can take someone who's really uncomfortable with sales, who doesn't feel that they're good at all at sales, and we can put this tool in their hands, because when they're having the conversation with the prospect is looking at the results of their assessment, you're looking at it, and it's so cool. Like, in fact, you know, in some ways it would be very resonant with your style, because you're a giver, you know, you lift up people. So sometimes for people who are all about serving, sometimes the sales process is hard for them, because typically in the sales process, you're looking to find what's not working, right? So we're going to go to the pain point.
Yep.
And with the assessment, what's so fun about that is you begin the conversation by first looking to where they score themselves the highest. So that conversation begins with a celebration of saying, hey, I'm looking at the assessment, and Doug, like, you're rocking these particular areas. Tell me why you scored yourself so high there. So we're automatically starting, you know, affirming them, we're learning more about their strengths, you know, and that builds rapport, it builds trust, it makes them comfortable. And then once you have more of that rapport, then you can say, okay, Doug, so let's look at some of the places that you scored yourself a bit lower. You know, I see you scored yourself low here and here. Tell me about that. That's all you have to do. Like, it's crazy.
sounds like my years of working with my personal coach is, okay, so what are the major areas of your life that you want to succeed in? And I'd write them out, and he'd say, okay, so on a scale of 1 to 10, how important are they? And I would score them. And then a scale of 1 to 10, how are you doing? And one of them that I was struggling with was health and fitness. And he said, you keep rating this high, but, you know, week after week we get together and you're not making any progress. Can we dive a little bit deeper? You're saying that this would affect your relationship with your kids, and you want to have grandkids you want to hang out with, and blah, 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 blah. And it just took a while. But like you said, it was, you know, here's the points where you're doing well, and here's an area that you've said is important to you, but your actions aren't reflecting what you've said is important.
Exactly. It's a perfect example of the power of the 1 to 10 scale. It really is. And that's really where, you know, people may be familiar with surveys. You know, Ryan Levesque does a whole thing around the ASK surveys. And while I see surveys are valuable, and our tool can also build surveys for our clients, I think there's nothing like the assessment, because the challenge with the survey is when you ask open-ended questions in that sales process, number one, you can't, because it's open-ended, and some people write books or hardly anything.
Yes.
You can't take that data and then build a funnel around it, because it's open-ended questions. The second thing around surveys where it falls short of being the tool we need is that when a person answers a question, they will tell you the story they've been telling themselves the whole time. So, you know, what's so in our world, you know, what's a challenge that you're having in your business and why do you think you're having that challenge? Well, they're going to say the same thing they've been saying to themselves versus with an assessment, it's a truth teller, right? The numbers don't lie. That if I'm scoring myself in a 2 or 3 or 4 in a certain area of a business that's identified as important, it's a truth teller for them. But instead of me having to, as I say, stick the knife in and turn it, right, which is sometimes what people do in sales, instead of me having to do that, the numbers are there. And it's I call it a kinder, gentler way of navigating the sales process and getting to the outcome that you're looking for.
Well, I never use a knife, maybe a pointed stick or maybe a little bit of salt, but never a knife.
Good. I knew you were one of the good guys.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So how do we tie this into some form of automation? So I'm not familiar with your tool.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not familiar with the idea of doing an assessment in the front end. So, you know, for our listeners that are using probably a variety of CRMs, anything from Outlook to Infusionsoft, mm-hmm. How does this play with the rest of our technology?
Yeah. So it's smart technology. And so what we do is we push that data, whatever CRM you're using, we integrate with most of them. And so we can integrate that data into the CRM and it's tagged. So for example, let's say that you have an assessment that has 4 different categories. Well, we can push that data into the CRM and you can then program it that if a person is low in, like, let's say it's a relationship coach again, let's say they're low in communication, well, you can make it so that then that next free gift or bit of information, you could even put them into a little drip campaign where, you know, it is, hey, we noticed that when you took the assessment, communication is an area where there's lots of room for improvement. So we've decided to share, you know, over the next 3 days, some of our best tips on how to improve communication with your significant other, right?
Or we noticed that procrastination is something you struggle with. That's why I'm sending you an email every hour for the next 3 weeks.
I like that. You know, I write that down. Yeah, exactly. And so it's that's where the communication is more respectful because, you know, it also can be for the offers. You know, why would one of the challenges I have in the industry right now is it's a one size fits all. You've got, you know, thousands of people on your list and you're offering one product. How do you know that that's the right product for that individual? So you're also able to kind of like by identifying the total score indicates if they're a beginning, intermediate, or advanced. So in our world, we typically design our follow-up campaigns based on beginning, intermediate, and advanced because you can typically really know what they're going to need. If a person's a brand new in business, we want to send them something that's more around the startup stage versus if a person scores really high on their assessment, we know they're a rock star. So we're going to give them more sophisticated information. Make sense?
Well, and if you think about operating your business and selling out of integrity, and I'm not suggesting that people that go this route are doing this, you know, without integrity, but Someone said I was interviewing them on my podcast, and the comment he made is that it's your responsibility for somebody to complete your course. So if you've set up an online course, you need to take responsibility for them. And I went away after the interview and I thought about that. I thought, man, that's right. I mean, if we really want to affect change and serve and help people, and at some point we've got in front of them and convince them to put their credit card in and buy the program, we have to take some responsibility, some responsibility for them to actually complete the course. We're not just in the business of selling gym memberships for $19. I don't care if they ever show up. I really want them to show up and I want them to reach, like you said, I want them to reach their goals. So, you know, what would success look like for you in 30, 60, 90 days? How would I affect change?
Oh, you just hit a chord for me, which is that's the first business, obviously, the e-learning business. And I'm so in agreement with you, Doug. In fact, I can tell you it was when we first started that company and I was just beginning, you know, the whole e-learning platform, I was out there speaking on stages. I actually had someone who's very well known in the industry pull me aside afterwards behind stage and said, Jane, you got to understand, we don't care if they complete it. We just care that they buy it. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, I can't even believe you just said that. Because bad I care for you. Mic. I'm never going to say who said that, but I'm going to repeat these.
Wow.
So in fact, I'm writing a book on this actually. So maybe sometime I'll come back. We'll talk about the whole e-learning and curriculum design. But the name of the book is The Promise to Transform. And that is, you know, if you hang your shingle out as an expert, as a coach, speaker, trainer, author, you have an obligation to learn how to inspire change in your clients. And there's a whole psychology to that. There's a whole, I call it the seven stages of the evolutionary journey. There's a psychology, no matter what you're, you know, we have one of our most successful online clients. She's over a million in e-learning in just a few years. She's a dressage specialist. She teaches people how to have a better relationship with their horse. But because she knocked it out of the park with her first course less than 3 years ago, she's built an amazing business that has, you know, clients all over the world. And now she's doing certification in different languages. But it was because she understood that she needed to get that first group through that beginning course that she launched long ago, to the point the second time she did an intermediate. In our world, we do beginning, intermediate, and advanced courses. So when she launched her intermediate course, she did over $200,000 in sales with two emails to the people who had been through course number one. And this is why we have to care about completion, because when people don't complete what we create, then not only do they not buy the next thing, but there's a negative association with your product and with you.
Yeah.
So I know we're off sales, but you really hit a chord, because I think, you know, these two things that we're talking about, you know, I know you're about marketing, but it's all related. The selling with integrity and delivering on your promise, those two things, I think, are, you know, the backbones of how we as an industry can lift ourselves up and regain the trust of consumers. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to enough events and enough masterminds, and I, like you, I'm not going to name names, but there's a handful of well-known people that we've, over the years have committed to be in masterminds with. And I can't remember receiving an email from any of these people that wasn't self-serving. Not mm-hmm. like I didn't open the email and go, oh, look, I got an email from so-and-so and man, they made my day. They added value. They taught me something. Their teaching was, if I buy this new course or if I come to this new online webinar, then I'll have made it. It's like, you know, have you guys never taken into consideration that we don't, as consumers, so, you know, for you listeners listening and that are emailing to your list, your people on your list don't wake up in the morning thinking, what can I open my email and buy? So if that's all you're doing, you're going to wonder why your response rates are lower, why people are unsubscribing. And a new trend, I just published a book on email marketing, and here's a shocking statistic for those who don't know it. If you're sending too much email to people and it's not formatted right, or it's not the right offer, even if they have double opted in, they are now more likely to report it as spam.
Wow.
So if you're ticking people off, they're voting with the button, the spam button, and you know, they may or may not know that affects the deliverability of your email to your entire list. Mm-hmm. So think about that next time before you push the send button. Is this good for my audience? And if it's not good for my audience, you're likely to get some spam complaints. And at some point, that's going to affect you getting your emails out to the people who actually like you.
Yeah. Amen. I love that. Well, you know, for me, the greatest tool for increasing your open rate, for me, it's authenticity. It's vulnerability. It's, you know, letting your list into your life. You know, this last 3 weeks, and when I lost a loved one, you know, I shared that, you know, I shared, you know, that I was taking some time off and that they wouldn't hear from me for a while. And this is why. And, you know, it's, we have to gain the trust by being real with them and really caring. So I think you're spot on. I can't wait. Is that going to be a book, Doug?
It is a book. Actually, I just got the printed copies yesterday. It hit bestseller Woo-hoo. Status, and my first Amazon order just showed up. The publisher sent me some copies as a thank you. So,
Send me the link. I'll buy it after this, and I might be.
it's new to me to be an author, but it does feel kind of weird. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, wonderful.
So yeah, I mean, the world needs a lot less pictures of people on Instagram standing in front of somebody else's Ferrari or on the back of the boat with a bunch of scantily dressed women saying, hey, do what I do, you can have this, because most of them don't have it either.
Now it makes my skin crawl. Yeah.
So let's move back onto a positive, upbeat conversation.
Yeah, but actually it's edgy. I think people need to hear this. I love it. And I think when we blow the whistle on our own industry, it holds it holds me and you up to a higher standard, because if we're pointing out something that's not working in the industry, we better well be doing it right. or at least doing our best to do it right, which is kind of our philosophy.
Well, I saw a post on Instagram the other day. I mean, you opened the door a little bit for me, so I'll step in. And it was, I follow a Christian-based health and wellness website, and they put a post up and they said, you know, contrary to popular belief, you can eat right and get into good shape without posting half-naked pictures on social media. Yes, you know, we don't need, you know, like J.P. Sear said, we need one less photo of a woman with a selfie going, look at my necklace. He's going, it's not the necklace. You're just writing that because you know what you're doing. Like, it's really disgusting. Like, quit doing that, you guys. So yeah, the industry is anyhow.
Oh my goodness.
So moving forward, what are you most excited about the next, say, 6 months?
I would say, well, a couple things. Number one, it's this book. I've been teaching people curriculum design and all that for many, many years. And you know, and I just realized I can't help as many people as I want to. And I really want to change. I want to inspire this entire industry to deliver on their promise in their e-courses. I mean, it's just, I really want to, actually what it's all about, Doug, is I want to help people stop putting out crappy courses. Like it's really a big mission of mine. So that's important. It'll be my third book. And I'm excited about that. And then, you know, to be quite frank, the assessment company is such a passion of mine, and there's not enough of me to go around. So really right now I'm looking for individuals. We've had a couple conversations with people to bring in someone, you know, in my world, having seven businesses, the way we had seven businesses is when a revenue stream is doing well, we make it a division. And then when the division does well, we make it into a company. And then I look for someone to mentor, to take over that company, who eventually can actually take ownership of it. So yeah, I'm just, you know, saying prayers and talking to great people who know other great people and looking to find the right person to grow that company with me.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
So I used to ask a question of, you know, what advice would you give yourself, you know, when you're 20, you know, as a young entrepreneur, but I found a better question that I ripped off from Tim Ferriss. And that is, what bad advice do you hear in our industry today?
Oh, interesting. Okay. I've heard him ask this. What bad advice?
Yeah. So talking about personal development or online or being an entrepreneur, I mean, there's so many people giving advice. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we can always look back and say, you know, if I had only known this when I was so, but you know, right now there are gurus or people that are perceived to be gurus or experts that are giving advice, and it's clearly the wrong advice.
Okay. So, I got it. Yeah, okay, totally got one. It. Okay. Yeah. So I'm a big proponent against the pilot launch, of course. In fact, ours is opposite. And I, when you know, the pilot launch, for people who aren't familiar with what that is there's a lot of experts in the course creation space saying, you know, do your pilot launch where you charge very little, you beg people to get in the course, and then you ask for their advice. And I don't know about you, but that does not create the kind of stature or the kind of respect that all of you earned because of your hard work and coming up with this expertise. So yeah, I think the pilot is a really, really bad choice for launching the course. We do something called the Inner Circle, which is a small group of people that are highly invested. And they actually, in addition to the online program, they get private coaching with you. And we've proven this time and time again over the last 3 years that it beats hands down the pilot launch. Typically, people walk away with about a $30,000 revenue stream and amazing case studies and happy clients. And then we do something called the tribal launch, which is more going out to a bigger group. But yeah, don't do a pilot launch.
That's cool. So go big. Just skip the small stuff and just move right on to competing with Amazon head on.
Well, maybe not that, but yeah.
Okay, something in between.
Exactly, exactly. Cool.
Here's a tough question for you. This gets every one of my guests, and I'm hoping that because you're so bright, you'll be able to answer this quickly. Here comes the lead up to the big, big question. Who's one guest I should have on my podcast?
Who's a guest that you should have on your podcast in the marketing realm?
In any realm. I mean, I'm an entrepreneur and I just happen to like marketing. So I'm one of those weird guys who gets a kick out of selling stuff and doing sales and marketing.
Yeah. You know, who I'd love to have you on is, I'm reading the book, You're a Badass Now by Jen Sincero.
Okay.
And she's amazing. I mean, she really is great. She's a phenomenal writer. Her work in this industry started off teaching writers how to write well. So she's a great writer herself, but she's also just got great stories. And she's a badass entrepreneur. And I would imagine a lot of people in your listening field here could relate to that. So yeah, I love her.
Okay. Thanks very much. I appreciate that. I made a note and I'll reach out. And if I can't find her, I'm sure you've got her in a Rolodex someplace, or I don't know. Our listeners don't know what a Rolodex is, but we won't go there either.
Yeah, you're a riot.
So what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Well, here's the thing. I would love to, can I give them also an opportunity to experience one of the assessments? Are you cool with that?
Feel free.
Yeah. So if you want to experience one of our assessments, you can go to rockyourbizquiz.com. So rockyourbizquiz.com. And it takes just about 4 minutes. And the cool thing is not only do you get to see the tool in action itself, you'll also get an opportunity to, in essence, find out what are those missing pieces. So if you're an entrepreneur, it doesn't matter what business you're in, this is basically measuring these five elements or five areas that you really need to be taken care of. So that would be one. And also just, I can give out the email that they can, if they have any questions, if there was something that you had a question about on the interview, I'm happy to answer any questions for your tribe. So it's just janed@janeduber.com. janed@janeduber.com.
Okay. And what's your favorite social media platform?
I'd say Facebook.
Okay. So you're a Facebook person. Okay. Yeah. So there you go. So we will make sure that all of this stuff is linked in our show notes. We find that show notes are helpful. They're great for SEO. They're great for people who want to read and listen at the same time. And for people who didn't take notes, they can go back and say, aha, now I've got that information.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And Doug, I would love to get your book. So I want to order that, and I'm happy to share that with my tribe, because you're such a great guy, not just because you do all of this, but my sense of you is that you really do care about the people on your list. And I want to reward that, and I want more people to know about you. So let me reciprocate that way.
Well, thanks so much. Oh, I'm not very good at that part, the receiving part. So, but thank you, and we'll move along. So thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it. We had a great time meeting. I had a great conversation. Obviously, we're 42 minutes into the podcast. We could probably talk for hours on this topic. We think we both share a lot of the same common beliefs and desire to help people. So I want to be respectful of your time. So thank you, Jane.
You're welcome, Doug. Thanks for having me. Take care.
So thanks, listeners, for tuning in to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. If you're not subscribed, subscribe to us on iTunes. If you like what you heard, leave us a comment on our blog or leave us a rating on iTunes. Be much appreciated. And I look forward to our next episode and seeing how we can serve you best.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time, we look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.